friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. Egypt continues to dominate the medal table at the 12th African Games in Morocco. With medals still to be awarded on Monday, the Egyptians have 85 medals total, 27 gold, 36 silver, and 22 bronze. South Africa is next with 55 medals, 25 gold, 17 silver, and 13 bronze. South Africa swept the gold medals Monday in cycling's men's and women's individual time trial events. Ladies first, Ashley Passio won the women's individual time trial, covering the 28-kilometer course in just under 38 minutes and 17 seconds. And Ryan Gibbons waved the South African flag high after winning the men's individual time trial, pedaling the 38-kilometer course in just over 46 minutes and 50 seconds. In African Games weightlifting Monday, Nigeria's Adijat Olarinoye won the gold medal in the women's 55-kilogram weight class. Olusade Adesola is the permanent secretary in Nigeria's Ministry of Youth and Sports. In an interview with Iron Mike Mbonye, he said Team Nigeria will win more medals in weightlifting, as well as in athletics, boxing, and wrestling.
We are already in the fierce part of the games. Sports like badminton, table tennis have started bringing in medals. These are areas where the country has strength. So in our projection, we know these are medal hopes, and they have proved to be right. Weightlifting yesterday brought in 5 medals. Weightlifting brought in 1 gold, 1 silver, and 3 bronze. So we believe that we are just getting to where the strength lies, and we'll see more as more sports are finalized. In boxing, we are not doing badly because we are final in about 3 events in boxing. So we expect more medals from that area too.
What about weightlifting, track and field that will start today, and then wrestling? Does Team Nigeria have medal hope?
Wrestling is also our strength. Weightlifting is our strength. We believe we will harvest more medals from those ones. Yes.
At the end of the day or at the end of the games, what are you projecting? How many medals are you projecting for Team Nigeria?
The projection, you know, as I always say, you work very hard, you wait for the result. Our athletes have worked hard, and we believe that they are all committed to the goal to which they have set. The presidents of the federations are in engagement with the athletes too. The entire system is with them. Even His Excellency President Muhammadu Buhari is also with them. He has continued to send messages to them to make the country proud. We believe that all these moral incentives will prepare them to be. I cannot give you anything now, but in terms of preparation, we made adequate preparation. That's what I can say.
Do you have any injury challenges in Team Nigeria's camp?
Yes, a report was given to me of a case, but the athletes recovered. It was due to fatigue. I'm yet to receive a formal report on it. I am on my way to Morocco now, and I believe when I get there, I will get full report of situation of things. But I think so far so good. I've not received serious adverse report from Morocco.
What do you think should be the mood of the athletes and officials of Team Nigeria in Morocco as the games comes nearer to its end?
Their spirits are high. They are looking forward to putting their best and achieve the best outcome. They are all committed to this cause, and we have always continued to thank them for it. We are working with them to ensure that they achieve their goals. The mood is high. The morale is high.
That's Olusade Adesola, the permanent secretary in Nigeria's Ministry of Youth and Sports. And he spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Abuja, Nigeria. With African Games action still taking place Monday, Team Nigeria is in 6th place on the medal table. Nigeria has 15 medals, 3 gold, 4 silver, and 8 bronze. Host Morocco is currently in third place overall on the medal table. The Moroccans have won 41 medals, 13 gold, 11 silver, and 17 bronze. Now, the Moroccans did very well in Taekwondo over the weekend, winning 5 gold medals, 1 silver, and 1 bronze. Ivory Coast collected 3 gold, 2 silver, and 5 bronze medals for second place in the Taekwondo table. And the Egyptian team won 2 gold medals, 8 silver, and 1 bronze to finish third in Taekwondo. Meanwhile, Egypt's 2-time African Footballer of the Year has helped spark Liverpool to its 3rd consecutive Premier League victory. Joining us now with that story and more weekend European club football highlights is Prince Nesta. Sporty greetings, Prince.
Sporty greetings to you too, Sonny. For Star Fader from Joel Matip and a brace from Egyptian talisman Mo Salah, ensured Liverpool made it 3 wins out of 3 in a convincing 3-1 victory over Arsenal to take control at the top of the Premier League. Substitute Lucas Torreira pulled a goal back for Arsenal in the 85th minute, but the damage had already been done. It was the 12th consecutive Premier League victory for Jurgen Klopp's side, the best winning streak in the competition since 1990. A brace from English striker of Nigerian descent Tammy Abraham plus Mason Mount strike saw Chelsea beat Norwich 3-2 to hand Frank Lampard his first win as the club's manager in his 4th match in charge. Norwich battled back to equalize twice in the first half through Todd Cantwell and Timo Puk in the wild encounter at Carrow Road, but it wasn't enough as the Blues collected all the 3 points. UEFA Champions League finalists last season, Tottenham Hotspur slammed to a shock 1-0 home defeat to Newcastle, while Ghanaian star Jordan Ayew and Dutch fullback Patrick van Aanholt got their names on the score sheet as Crystal Palace beat Manchester United 2-1 to record their first victory at Old Trafford since 1989.
Prince, congratulations to the Crystal Palace Eagles for spreading their wings and soaring to that historic triumph at Old Trafford. Still with England's Premier League, Prince, defending champion Manchester City was in fine form against Bournemouth on Sunday.
That's right, Sonny. Sergio Aguero scored twice, and Raheem Sterling also struck on the South Coast as Manchester City returned to winning ways after beating Bournemouth 3-1 at the Vitality Stadium. Sonny, Manchester City star Kevin De Bruyne also became the quickest player to reach 50 assists in Premier League history. It took the Belgian just 123 games to reach the milestone, which is remarkably 18 games fewer than the previous holder Mesut Ozil. The news will surely be a welcome boost for the talented playmaker, who endured an injury-ridden 2018-2019 campaign, restricting him to just 11 Premier League starts. Manchester City are now second in the table, and they'll next face Brighton at the Etihad Stadium this Saturday.
Thanks, Prince. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Prince Nesta is looking at some of the weekend European club football highlights. Prince, let's go to France now. African players continue to shine in the French league for a second weekend in a row.
That's right, Sonny. Cameroon striker Eric Maxim Choupo-Moting scored twice as PSG beat Toulouse 4-0. But the Ligue 1 champions lost French star of Cameroonian descent Kylian Mbappe and Uruguay international Edinson Cavani to injury. The victory now lifts PSG up to 3rd in the league, behind Lyon and early leaders Rennes. Brazilian star Neymar was also absent from the PSG squad amid continued uncertainty over his future at the club. Monaco's miserable start continued as they blew a 2-0 halftime lead to be held to a 2-2 draw by fellow strugglers Nîmes in the Principality. Algerian striker Islam Slimani and French striker of Tunisian descent Wissam Ben Yedder put Leonardo Jardim's men in control at the break, before French footballer Romain and 18-year-old Togolese Kevin Denke tried to grab Nîmes a point.
Prince, let's go to Spain now. Despite a strong start against Celta Vigo last week, Real Madrid slips to a draw in La Liga.
Yeah, that's true, Sonny. They had such a poor showing at the Bernabeu, and this result will surely puncture their momentum and confidence. French forward of Algerian descent Karim Benzema looked to have fired the Los Blancos to victory in the 82nd minute with a splendid piece of skill before an 88th minute equalizer from Real Valladolid Sergi Guardiola ensured Zinedine Zidane's side stumbled to a 1-1 draw in their first home game of the season. Their rivals Barcelona bounced back from their shock opening day defeat in style to win their first game of the season as they beat Real Betis 5-2 at Camp Nou. Barca went into the game without the injured Lionel Messi, Luis Suarez and Ousmane Dembele and found themselves a goal down earlier on. But Antoine Griezmann equalized shortly before halftime and called in a superb second early in the second half, which had Suarez and Messi beaming their approval. Goals from Carlos Perez and Jordi Alba made sure of the points before Griezmann set up the substitute Arturo Vidal for the fifth, although the best and last goal of the night was a 25-yard screamer from Betis's Loren Moron. Atletico Madrid also made it 2 wins from 2 in La Liga after seeing off Leganés 1-0. Prince Nesta on the sunny side of sports. Back to you, Sonny.
Thanks, Prince. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. World record holder and two-time Olympic champion David Rudisha says he escaped unhurt after his car collided with a bus on a highway in western Kenya over the weekend. The 30-year-old Kenyan star says he was traveling home to Kilgoris and he lost control of his SUV when a tire burst. Rudisha posted a photo of his mangled and badly damaged vehicle on Twitter, along with the following, and I quote, "Thanking the Almighty God for the gift of life, I survived a tragic road accident after a head-on collision with a bus. I am fine with no injuries. Thank you for your prayers." David Rudisha was taken to a hospital after the accident, and doctors said he did not suffer any fractures. Rudisha won a gold medal at the 2012 Olympics in London at 800 meters, and then David did it again at the 2016 Olympics in Rio de Janeiro. At the 2012 Games in London, Rudisha became the first and only person ever to run under 1 minute and 41 seconds for 800 meters. He clocked a world record time of 1 minute and 40.91 seconds. Rudisha has received a wild card entry to participate in next month's World Championships in Doha, Qatar. Meanwhile, 23-year-old Norwegian athlete Carsten Warholm will be defending his world 400 meters hurdles title in Doha. In an interview with the energetic Andy Edwards, Carsten talked about some of the technical aspects of the hurdles, including his lane preference. Here's Andy.
Carsten Warholm of Norway is in great form this season, breaking a European record in 400 hurdles. Of course, he's the world champion from the London Championships a couple of years ago. Carsten, interesting to hear you respond to the question of, well, how do you feel about a lane draw, which is lane 7 or 8? A lot of one-lap hurdlers don't like that, but you seem very comfortable if you get that kind of lane draw on the outside.
When it comes to Diamond League, I have the privilege to tell them what lane I would prefer, and when I race regularly, I like to have a lane that is longer out, because the bend becomes longer, it becomes softer, and you can almost look at it as prehab. You know, I don't want to get any injuries, and for me, I feel like it's better for ankles and muscles and legs to get more out in the lanes. So that is why I do it.
So in training, if you're doing, you know, one lap hurdles for time and your coach is watching. Do you tend to be starting that trial test run in lane 7 or 8?
Absolutely. I always like to have one lane outside of me because I don't like to run all the way up to the commercial signs and whatever. But I like to have the second outer lane.
You broke the European record in Oslo, mid-June. Do you think it's going to take an improvement on your European record to win the world title in Doha?
Absolutely, yes. I think so, yeah. And that is because people are stepping up their game now, and everybody is pushing each other. But at the same time, you see a lot in track and field when people are building up expectation that there's almost, it's coming like an anti-climax, you know, because everybody's always going to be a world record in Doha, it's going to be a world record in Doha, and then the world record doesn't go because, you know, people have been talking too much about it, people have been stressing too much, and I think you just got to, like, lower your shoulders and whatever happens, happens.
That's Carsten Warholm of Norway, the reigning world champion in the men's 400 meters hurdles event. And Carsten was talking with the energetic Andy Edwards in London. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Turning to tennis, a marquee women's match will be front and center in the first round of the U.S. Open in New York. Joining us with details is my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings. Sonny, as the U.S. Open tournament begins, one thing is on everyone's mind. The opening match between Serena Williams and Maria Sharapova. Monday's match will be their first ever clash at Flushing Meadows, and USTA's Michael Fiore says it will be a blockbuster event.
When you say the luck of the draw, that's what it is. You know, a couple of years ago, Maria played on opening night and took out number one in the world, Simona Halep, totally unexpected.
Some of the stars featured in this year's tournament spoke on Media Day, and defending women's champion Naomi Osaka said she'll be watching the Williams-Sharapova showdown.
Of course I'm going to watch it. I know you all are going to watch it. I think everyone in New York's going to watch it. Yeah, I mean, for me, I'm not that surprised that that happened because, like, at every Grand Slam, there's always some sort of drama, you know what I mean? Like a first round, like, oh my God, you know? So this match just happens to be that for this tournament.
Osaka went on to flag off a question about her relationship with Serena Williams since last year's controversial championship round. Osaka said she feels like she's already answered that question many times and quickly exited the stage. Meanwhile, on the men's side, U.S. Open champion Novak Djokovic is back to defend his title, and he says he's ready to handle the weight of sitting on top as world number one.
You know, you have that additional pressure, obviously, and expectations, but I guess over the time you get used to it. The more you win, the more you get used to it, I guess.
Djokovic recently defeated Roger Federer in this year's Wimbledon final, and the two greats have been placed in the same half of the U.S. Open draw. They could potentially face each other in the semifinal round. Federer says players like Djokovic, along with Rafael Nadal and Andy Murray, who are consistently featured in the winner's circle, can make it tough for newcomers.
I think now that Novak, Rafa, and me are healthy again, Andy also slowly coming back again, it's just made it much harder for young guys to come through, but they are definitely knocking on the door big time now. So I think that's a very encouraging for those who want to see somebody else win. But I think also just Novak's domination or Rafa's domination is also not normal.
Well, Rafael Nadal hopes to continue his domination in the sport at this year's Open. However, Andy Murray, who was set to play doubles, has instead chosen to bow out of the tournament and continue his recovery from hip surgery. Another Andy has made news for speaking out about the lack of U.S. male representation in tennis. 2003 U.S. Open champion Andy Roddick recently expressed his concern over the 15-year Grand Slam title drought for American men. But he said the American women have been holding down the fort, and the woman to watch is Coco Gauff.
The talent's there. A couple things you look at with her. that are always going to be better at 20, 21, 22 years old than they are when you're 15 is speed, the way you move. She's already probably amongst the best in the world, and you know, serving power, she's already there, 115, 118 on the radar gun. Those things will only get better. I hope the powers that be with scheduling, I don't want to see her out on Tuesday night right away on Arthur Ashe Stadium for ticket sales. You know, I would love to see her be able to ease her way in. You know, 2 months ago she was anonymous walking around, and now we're talking about her, and I've been talking about her all day. She is the goods. She is the real deal. She seems to have a great head on her shoulders, and I hope that we're not in a rush to make her a star. She'll get there.
And Sonny, I have to mention here that as the torch is being passed for the next generation in women's tennis, a legend in the sport now has a permanent place on the grounds of the U.S. Open. A statue honoring tennis legend Althea Gibson was unveiled on Monday at Flushing Meadows. During her career, Gibson broke the color barrier at the highest levels of tennis. She was the first African-American to win a Grand Slam title and the first Black player to be ranked number one in the world. She won both the U.S. National Championship and Wimbledon in 1957 and 1958. And now, over 60 years later, a granite sculpture of Gibson sits on the southeast side of Arthur Ashe Stadium with her quote, "I hope that I have accomplished just one thing, that I've been a credit to tennis and my country," and that she did. Those who are in attendance at the U.S. Open tournament will be able to see that statue up close, along with the players who are vying for the title. The tournament officially kicks off on Monday and runs through September 8th. And that's all from me, Sonny. I'll hand it back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sonny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. In professional golf, Irish star Rory McIlroy has won the Tour Championship, as well as the biggest prize in the sport's history. The AP's Graham Agars reports from Atlanta, Georgia.
Rory McIlroy has posted a four-shot victory to secure the PGA Championship and the year-long FedEx Cup. The 30-year-old Irishman claiming the biggest payday in the history of golf, winning a massive $15 million.
What I kept telling myself today, focus on the process, not the prize. You know, whether you're playing for $5 or $15 million or whatever it is, that's focus. What can you do right now that's going to help you get towards your goal? I never felt comfortable enough to let my mind get that far ahead that I was thinking of, oh, won't it be nice when I, you know, I kept playing golf and hitting shots and, you know, putting one foot in front of the other, you know, and just did that until the very end.
McIlroy came from a shot behind at the start of the day to fire a final round 66 for a tournament total of 18 under, in the end four clear of Xander Schauffele, who won $5 million. Brooks Koepka and Justin Thomas tied for third. It was the second time McIlroy had won the championship and the FedEx Cup. I'm Graham Agars.
In National Football League news, a star quarterback for the Indianapolis Colts unexpectedly announced his retirement over the weekend. The AP's Tom McCabe reports from Indianapolis, Indiana.
Andrew Luck says deciding to retire at the age of 29 was the hardest decision of his life.
It's the greatest team game in the world. I've loved being in that locker room. It's truly been the honor of a lifetime to suit up next to many of those guys, and that's part of what makes this very, very, very difficult.
The announcement was unexpected, coming after the Colts' third preseason game. Luck had been sidelined during the preseason with a calf and ankle injury. In 2018, Luck passed for nearly 4,600 yards, was named to his fourth Pro Bowl, and was the NFL Comeback Player of the Year. He missed the entire 2017 season and nine games in 2015. Tom McCabe, Indianapolis.
Thanks, Tom. And that wraps up the August 26th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer John Dryden. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it. We'll be right back. Hello, this is James Butte, managing editor and host of VOA's Daybreak Africa show. Join us Monday through Friday at 03, 04, 05, and 0600 hours UTC as we bring you the latest African news, features, and sports. You can also be a part of Daybreak Africa through our mail segment by sending your comments to daybreakafrica@voanews.com. Or you can call us on 001-202-205-9942. And when you hear the Voice of America identification, press the number 25 to leave us your message. That's Daybreak Africa at 03, 04, 05, and 0600 hours UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, the continent has seen a decline in the number of authoritarian regimes since the 80s, but still, the number of democracies has not increased significantly. A report card on democracy on the continent on the next Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
Are you suffering from heartache? No problem. We've got the cure for you. The African beat can soothe your heartache with its awesome tunes from the African continent. So join me, David Vandy, Mondays through Fridays at 0900 and 2000 Universal Time for a healing journey. I guarantee it.
This is Science in a Minute.
Sleep deprivation has long been linked with having a higher risk for cardiovascular disease and even death from coronary heart disease. A study published in the journal Psychosomatic Medicine suggests one possible reason is that having a bad night of sleep can cause blood pressure to spike. The researchers studied 300 men and women between the ages of 21 and 70 with no history of heart problems. The participants wore portable blood pressure cuffs and had their blood pressure randomly measured over a two-day, two-night period. To gauge their sleep efficiency, they also wore devices that measured movement as they slept. The researchers found that the participants with lower sleep efficiency readings also showed an increase in blood pressure during the night and a higher systolic or upper number blood pressure the following day. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
The Voice of America's flagship global news program, International Edition, brings you an in-depth look at the biggest stories of the day. Nobody covers the world more comprehensively than VOA. We have hundreds of reporters gathering the news and the views of the most seasoned experts on international issues. Tune in Monday through Friday at 17 UTC and 2230 UTC. We're also available online at voanews.com.
VOA News.
VOA. When news breaks, VOA News is there. Around the clock, listen to VOA Newscast at the top of each hour, along with our detailed news programs and analysis.
We are online at voanews.com.
VOA, your trusted source of news and information.